a little clip of, which is over there, of some angelic activity. As we've just been talking about angels and engaging with the whole angelic realm, when I was in Phoenix, and there was a strong angelic presence, and you couldn't see it with your natural eyes, but cameras seemed to pick things up. And actually, we did. They were live streaming the sessions, and while they were live streaming the sessions, people started to phone in saying, "Are you aware of what's on the live stream?" So when we sort of got the video and had a look, and it was like, forget my my dancing there. you can see some of the lights that start moving around the room. Now, if you see, some of them are actually coming in and out of the screen, and they're behind people and in front of people. And the lighting in the room was very, very subdued, so there was no spotlights, there was nothing that you could see with your natural eyes. Although spiritually I was aware of what was going on, but it was really interesting just to see all these lights flashing around the room. Is quite interesting, but shows that actually when you actually go to look at some of these things, you actually find that they are available on camera that aren't necessarily available to the natural eye. So there are wavelengths of light which you can begin to pick up and engage with, but you can't necessarily see them. But you can tune into them, because spiritually I was aware of what was going on in those things, but not everyone is. Not everyone was aware of what was going on. There are a few people afterwards who actually testified, yeah, I could see these things that were moving around the room. Now, if they came as lights, but actually when you slow down the lights, and if you, because you've got them on video and you slow them down, they're like orbs. And they have almost like shimmering faces in them when you engage them. So I'm going to pick up on that in a little bit. I thought I'd just show it at the beginning, just to give us a starting point. So, oops, let me go back a little bit from the beginning. There we go. This is the last session of the pathway of relationship, engaging God. We've been going deeper and deeper in intimacy, looking to see a flow from heaven, flowing through the gateways of our spirit, soul, and body out to the world around us. And I'm going to focus on that whole part today. So the rivers of living water from the river of life, which isn't H2O, it's the essence of God's life, are to water the earth. And now we don't have a physical garden, but all of us have a garden within our heart that becomes a place for that to flow out. So we've looked at the gateways of spirit, soul, and body, and looked at various sessions, and we've looked to actually see that we have a spirit which is God conscious, and our first love, place of first love, the kingdom in us, God's presence in us, needs opening to flow outwards. We have our self-conscious, our soul, to engage the world and to be self-aware, and we have world consciousness to engage the world. Now, most of what we've learned has come from the outside in. Now, God wants it to flow from the inside out so that we will engage the world and ourselves from a different perspective, a perspective of the spirit. So we need the river of life flowing. Therefore, we need to open up our first love gate. We can engage Jesus and take his yoke upon us, because his burden's easy and his yoke's light, and the other way around. And we need the throne, God on the throne of our lives. So we've sort of been looking at the pathway where the garden of our heart, the dance floor, the soaking room, the bridal chamber, is this process of going deeper and deeper with God, more intimacy, transformation, being transformed into the image of sonship. everything has been leading up to that dark cloud experience, and I shared that last time, where it was a surrender of self, death to self, rule and control as a principle of life. So I became untethered from the earth, and from soul and spirit became separated and then reintegrated together in unity, and then living in dual realms, being able to live in the realms of heaven and in realms of earth at the same time became possible. Because as my soul and spirit became unified, united and connected, heaven and earth were connected. Now I've learned over the last 5 years to live that way, but there's a lot more to it. So my soul and spirit were engaging heaven together daily. In visionary cognitive experiences, I was in heaven, in my soul. But because my soul was ruling, then I couldn't stay there. I kept having to step in and step out. So I was going into the veil, coming back out, engaging that every day, wonderful experiences, but there was a limit to how far I could go because of the nature of my soul being in charge. So I was visiting heaven, the heavenly realms, but not inhabiting them consistently, which is what you need to do if you're going to flow from heaven to earth in a consistent way. So my redemptive gift, sort of prophet, teacher, I needed to know how things function to explain that to other people. That's how I'm wired. God made me that way. I'm aware of the physical world in that way. You know, I look at the world and I look to see how it works. That's just how God made me. Other people look at the world and look to think, how can they help people? Or how can they bless people? Or how can they do this? For me, that's how I look at the world. I'm wired that way. But my soul was getting its identity from that, from its redemptive gift, and that was ruling until I got to this point of engaging that dark cloud and essentially coming into crucifixion of myself. And Galatians 2:20 describes this. I have been crucified with Christ. Now, we know that took place in principle on the cross, that he died for all of us in our place and as us. And then it goes on to say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, the life which I now live. So I've died to one way of living, and now I'm alive to a new way of living. I now live in the flesh. I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So if he did that for me, my response has been, well, I want to love you and give myself up for you. That means that I no longer live in the same way. My soul is no longer functioning in the same way as it was. So now I live together with Christ in a union. A mystic union is a one way of describing it, being unity of one heart. So my soul surrendered, died, and is now resurrected, integrated with my spirit in a right relationship. I wasn't doing anything wrong in what I was doing. I was just doing it from the wrong motivation. And now that motivation changed. So when I no longer needed to know, then God was free to unveil so much more than I ever imagined or thought. Because I got to a point where I couldn't go any further because my soul needed to be cognitively engaged in that process, and that wasn't possible. You know, it is possible to go into that realm in the soul and the spirit and enjoy the thing, but I couldn't live there because my soul has to live here. And my soul is the connection point for my spirit to the world. And if my soul was in heaven, then I'm not much use on the earth. So there has to be a point where you live in both realms. So the whole veiled places in heaven, which I'd never been to, started to unveil, and I began to walk in different places in sonship. So Zechariah 3:7, if you walk in my ways, and so I started to walk in his ways, then you will perform my service, govern my house, charge of my courts, and I'll give you free access among these who are standing here. Those realms of government and courts and access to the counsels of God opened up. Whereas before, I was limited in my experience. So at this point in time, God gave me an orb, you know, that thing the queen holds in her official pictures with a globe, and he gave me a throne in the realm of the kingdom of heaven, and I suddenly started to be able to engage in a legislative, governmental way in sonship rather than more the experiential way that I was engaging before. So I started to engage wisdom, who I'd not engaged before this point. And I engaged on our heights, and I found lots of doorways there and pathways and different things that took me into different realms of heaven. Everything I'd accessed previously all went to a deeper level because I could now experience something of the revelation of that which wasn't being hindered by my soul. And I was able to access so many different levels of courts. You know, before I was operating in the mobile court of accusation, like most of us are engaging in, then I was able to access many other courts, Court of Kings and Court of Chancellors and Court of the Upright. Having been sort of free now, because I didn't need to know, God was free to show me all sorts of things and unveil that. So I was able to go deeper into the Holy of Holies, not just engaging the ark for a mandate of what to do on the earth, because that's what I was doing before. I would go, engage with the ark of the presence of God, resonate with his will, and then step out and try and do his will. It's so hard to do his will when your spirit's not in heaven, because you're doing it in the power of the soul. Even though it was his will, I was trying to work it out. So then I learned to go and step into the four faces of God and engage the heavenly government of God, the lion, the ox, the eagle, the man, and begin to engage that. And I was able then to engage eternity. I'd never engaged eternity before. I went back into the heart of God, where it's not linear, there's no space-time continuum in the same way as we have here. My soul could never have coped with eternity, because you just get completely fried with a non-linear way of engaging things. But my spirit was birthed in eternity, and it's designed to engage eternity. And this opened up so I could go back into eternity and engage that, so then I get an eternal perspective for life that enables me to begin to frame and order my life from that perspective rather than the perspective that my soul's engaged with. So I started to live and practice living in dual realms, so then I could flow from heaven to earth because my spirit was there and engaging. And then I started to learn how to frame my day from what I received from the oracles and the legislation of heaven, so that order started to take place around me. And then things started to expand. And that's what I want to talk about today, expanding our boundaries. So whole dual realms living became possible as daily my soul stepped in and then stepped out and left my spirit dwelling there. John 3:12, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. He said, "I told you earthly things, that is things that happen right here on earth, and you do not believe. How will you believe and trust me if I tell you of heavenly things?" So there is so much more in the realms of heaven than you can just get from earthly perspectives. Now, I believe we have a lot more earthly perspectives that gives us the parables of the day, quantum physics and that type of thing, that opens up new realms of understanding and parables, because we now have a deeper understanding of how the spiritual, physical, things that aren't seen operate. But that can't be what we form our things from. It must be the experience of those things that go beyond what we experience in this earthly realm. And then Jesus said, "No one has gone up into heaven, but there is one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man himself, whose home is in heaven." So Jesus was dwelling in heaven in his spirit while his body and soul were on the earth. And there were occasions where he stepped back into that realm with his soul. He went to the top of the mountain. He went into the mountain. He stepped into that realm in a different dimension when his physical body engaged that realm and he was transfigured on top of the mountain. Again, all talking about mountains, which is places of authority. That mountain is where God dwells. Mount Zion, the city of God, is where God's kingdom is, and he was able to access that mountain, sometimes physically, sometimes spiritually, and with his soul at different times. So we all have that, because that's the pattern for us. If we're going to do the things that Jesus did, the way he did them, then we need to follow the same pattern. So in John 5:19, Jesus says, "Therefore, I answered them, saying, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing." That's why he was able to do what he was doing, because he was seeing what the Father was doing continually, because his spirit was engaged in that realm. He sees what the Father is doing. "For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." So we can do the things that God is doing in the way that he's doing them when he shows us. To show us, we have to step into where he is. Then he engages in us, and then that flows through us. Verse 20 says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things." Are we all sons of God? So he loves us and will show us all things, if we're willing to engage in that. So, "For the Father loves the Son, he shows all things he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel." And that's the key. There are so much more greater works than we've seen from an earthly perspective that will cause us to marvel and wonder when we begin to engage in the same way Jesus engaged. So we can engage in the realms of heaven, see what the Father's doing once our spirit and soul are functioning in correct order. So our spirit leads and directs and the soul flows. Therefore, our body and everything around us comes into alignment with that. So then we can learn to use our kingdom authority, the authority we have in the realm of the kingdom, to rule over the circumstances and situations of our daily lives, not be subject to them. Because we carry an authority of heaven which is higher than what we are on the earth. And if we're connected and flowing, everything can flow from that realm into this realm. So we have a greater capacity to outwork the kingdom on a daily basis, to expand and contract time, to do everything that we need to do, what we've been authorized and mandated to do by God, what we see him doing. We have authority to be able to administrate the kingdom around those situations. So if God tells me, I want you to do 24 hours of work today, I either have to stay up for 24 hours or I have to make sure I can do 24 hours of things in the hour that I've got available. So I begin to frame life from the perspective of God says you can do this. That's impossible from a natural perspective, but it's nothing's impossible with God. And if I'm seeing things from his perspective, then I can do those things. And therefore, I actually rule my time to contract and expand it. So if I need to travel somewhere and there's a need for me to be there at a particular time and I'm late, then what am I going to do? Oh, I'm late. Or am I actually going to say, no, I need to travel there quicker? And I've actually done that several times where God has shown me to do that. So he's taken me in a journey and shortened the journey, even though I couldn't understand it. And then when I was late for a plane, in the air, traveling and not going to get a connecting flight, you know, I sent angels ahead of the plane to enable that plane to get there in an hour and 40 minute journey. We got there 25 minutes, you know, because I took authority. Now, then you can learn, because your spirit's in the realm of heaven, you can be translated in time and space and used by God while you're doing things in your daily life. Now, sometimes you're aware of that. And when I engage in worship here, I just switch into another dimension and I'm always going to places because I can think, hey, I can just relax in this place and everyone else is doing their stuff and I can be translated in time and space. And I've been many times because my spirit is in that realm. I just choose to focus on being engaging with it so I can see what I'm doing. But people come up to me, you know, online all the time and say, oh, I saw you the other day in this realm. You were doing this. Oh, that's interesting. What was I like? What was that? What I'm wearing? I'm going to ask questions. Because sometimes I'm aware of it and I think, oh, yeah, I remember that. And other times, totally unaware of it because I'm focused here. Like now, I'm focused here looking at you, engaging with you, speaking to you. But my spirit is in the realm of heaven, flowing into this realm, which is why very often I don't really need to think about what I'm going to say. You know, because it's already prepared for me what I need to say in that realm. But it doesn't automatic. We have to engage it. So I can expand the kingdom because I'm a gateway of heaven. Because I'm a house of God and a mountain, a place of authority, and I can expand heaven. All that became possible when I started to learn to be joined to the Lord and one spirit with him. Therefore, I started to rule by filling the spheres of government that God's given me. So we all have our seven mountains and the seven sub-mountains of those mountains. Some of us are on benches of three that are involved with other spheres of government. Therefore, when I rule, because I have a mandate from God to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill and to subdue and to rule, Genesis 1:28, I can then begin to fill those spheres, take authority, expand those spheres, because those spheres are supposed to increase. So I start to frame my life for blessing, to be fruitful and to multiply, because that's God's will. God's will is that we're all fruitful to fulfill our destiny and to multiply, to increase and to fill the spheres, because the kingdom of God is going to fill the earth. How is it going to fill the earth? As we fill the spheres that God's given us of that kingdom rule. So my spirit is like living in the creative light realm of heaven, because it operates in creative light, because God is light. That living in that realm is both before this realm in time and authority, because heaven operates on a different time scale. So I can be always ready for what's needed here if I'm in that realm, And I can have the authority of that realm, which is always higher than this realm, because the spiritual realm has greater authority than the natural realm. And that's how Jesus did all his miracles. He brought the spiritual realm of heaven. It's at hand. It's here. And when he said it's at hand, the hand is the symbol of authority to rule, to act. So he said it's at hand. It's here. So he did miracles, signs and wonders, nature miracles. He multiplied food. He did, I mean, go through the scriptures and see all the things that he did. How did he do it? Because he was ruling from heaven on his throne, even when he was here on the earth, and we can do the same. So everything needed to fulfill everything that we're called to do on a daily basis, every mandate we've been given by God, can be prepared and ready to flow from creative light into these created light realms. And scientifically, you can look at all the different things there. It's very interesting when you look at holograms and you look at diffraction light patterns of light, how they interact. All those things are now being discovered to show us, actually, this actually is what happens. Quantum entanglement is the theory that two particles that are connected can be separated by dimensions, millions, billions of miles, and function instantly at the same time. So my spirit is quantumly entangled with my soul and body, separated by a dimension, but completely connected, which is exactly what the spiritual and physical realms are, connected. And the spiritual realm keeps this physical realm into order. If this was not observed, it wouldn't exist. So God is continually observing this realm from another realm so that this one exists. All those things we've learned. Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and exist." And we'll find the more we understand of living in him and living in that realm, the more we will exist in a way of sonship rather than the existence that we've been used to on the earth. So literally, resonance is where two things come together and they resonate. The resonance of creative and created light, the kingdom of heaven and earth, soul and spirit, brings alignments. It brings an alignment, an agreement, a unity. And where there's always unity, there's blessing. There's the empowerment to succeed and prosper. So my spirit resonates with God in heaven. My soul resonates with my spirit and comes into agreement. Peace, shalom, unity, united, being in unison is what it feels like when my soul and spirit function this way. True wholeness is the manifestation of sonship. And sonship is where we function in the same way as Jesus, where we're co-heirs with him in the kingdom. And that's what Romans says we are. Co-heirs, joint heirs, fellow heirs. Therefore, we can do the same things he did in the same way. So we've been looking at the flow from our spirit. And when we truly worship, it truly means we're surrendered to God's will and purpose. We are in obedience. We bow down and acknowledge his kingship, therefore his kingdom and his rule in us. That flows through us, through the river of life, through to the garden of our heart. And by choice of soul, we can say yes to God, or we can say no to God. Because we have free will to choose every single day of our lives. Whichever pathway we choose will be the pathway we follow, until we repent and turn from the negative pathway to follow the right path. But we have a choice, free will, being given to it by God. So every day we need to flow from worship that our soul then chooses to acknowledge and accept God's will for us, come into full agreement so our conscience, imagination, reason, mind, emotions, will all function together in oneness of saying yes to God and what we see the Father doing, so it can flow through us into the realm of heaven. So we have the opportunity of our soul engaging the world as our spirit connects. So we have a body with different senses: sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch. Those are physical senses which we're used to engaging the world from an outside-in perspective. I see something because light is coming in from the outside. I hear something because sound waves are coming in from the outside. I smell because there are particles in the air that are coming from the outside. Everything comes from the outside in, but now we need to start to see and engage the world from the inside out. So we're no longer subject to what's coming from outside in. We then can begin to see things from a spiritual perspective, a heavenly perspective, which changes how we engage the world. Now, as the flow comes through us, we'll find that you begin to engage different realms around you. There are different spiritual dimensions that you can't see with your natural eyes, but you can learn to tune into with your spirit. So there's the realm of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're very used to functioning in that realm. Then there's the realm of our personal atmosphere, that spiritual realm that we create by what flows through us. And that can be good or bad. And depending on what flows through us, actually it will determine what attracts around us. Now, positive things attract positive things. Negative things attract negative things. So we need to make sure that what we're developing in atmosphere is conducive to positive things engaging with us. So the spiritual atmosphere that's around us contains both the angelic and the demonic. Now, what is going to be drawn to you if you are miserable, negative, angry, unforgiving, resentful, bitter? Well, guess what's going to come? It's just like a shark with a drop of blood in the water can engage that miles away. If you are exhibiting love and joy and peace, you're going to have the angelic realm all around you. But we have to be responsible for what's flowing through us. We're responsible for the atmosphere we create. And we can engage in these atmospheres to begin to understand the spiritual dimensions that are happening around us, be sensitive to them, and start to rule and establish the kingdom in those atmospheres, not be subject to them. We can do all this. Everything flows there through us. So our spirits engage the spiritual realms around us. They operate at a higher frequency or higher wavelength that you can't see, but your spirit can engage with. We can engage them through the eyes of our heart. So we can choose to engage our imagination and begin to see that through the eyes of our heart. That's why we're learning to use our imagination as a doorway to engage these things. But also you can engage with the eyes of your spirit. Your spirit has the ability to perceive frequencies of light and sound that are not available to us through our natural realm. So we can begin to engage the atmosphere, the angelic. And as we saw earlier, cameras can pick up things that we can't see with our natural eyes until they're made in a form that we can. So in a way, a camera seems to be able to pick up something that our natural eyes can't and turn it into something that our natural eyes can see. Our spirit can do the same thing. We can begin to engage so we're aware of what's going on, so that we can become sensitive to the frequencies of those spiritual realms around us. So we tune into those vibrational frequencies of the realms and perceive or sense the activity. It's like our spirit is light. We're made in the image of God. God is light. God is spirit. It can send out like a vibrational pulse or radar or sonar wave into the atmosphere of, let's say, this room, and receive back an image or an impression of what's here. Now, I've learned to do this, over a period of time, and I've taught in the first modules of Engaging God how to do that. But you have to practice it. So if I tune into that right now, I can actually see all that's going on here and the angelic realms and the portals that are open and the different things that are here. You have to learn to engage it and tune in to receive, because we're an amplifier of frequency changes to discern things. We have discernment to discern those things of the different realms, spiritual realm, natural realm, emotional realm. We can discern where things are coming from and what they're there. We just have to learn to tune in and begin to engage, to become sensitive to it. So there are three realms I commonly engage. There's the Holy Spirit realm. That's what we're most familiar with. We're used to engaging the Holy Spirit realm and getting things from the Holy Spirit. Our personal atmospheres is where our angels dwell and we can engage with them. And then the spiritual atmosphere, the angelic demonic realm around us. So the Holy Spirit realm is where the Holy Spirit knows what's going on. So the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's going on in this spiritual realm and in every one of us. So the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's going on in your mind, in your emotions right now, in every minute detail, more than you probably understand and know yourself. So when we engage the Holy Spirit realm, we're dependent on the Holy Spirit passing some of that information on. And we can learn to do that, and it's called the gifts of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can gift us the ability to know what's going on in someone else's life or in the situation. So we can tune in to receive words. We call them words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophetic words, pictures, visions, gifts to administer healing or miracles. But it's all as he wills. And the more we spend time tuning into his will, then the easier it is to receive spiritual gifts. But that is his will. Now, he wants us to train us to be able to tune in to our spirit so that our spirit can engage those realms and also receive the same information or information in a different way. Now, we've got books and books written on spiritual gifts, but very little written on our spirit and our spiritual abilities that we've been given to develop, because we are made in the image of God to be able to do and engage the same things. So our personal atmosphere we can engage in, it's where we are flowing with the vibrations that we're radiating from inside out. Hopefully love, joy and peace, which will attract the angelic realm. Your own personal angels interact with you in that atmosphere, and you can engage them, assign them. They are there ministering spirits on behalf of those who inherit salvation. That's us. So they're there to minister with us, for us and on our behalf. But if we don't direct them, then most of the time they're just keeping us out of trouble, you know, and they've done a pretty good job because you're all sat here, you know. But they want more than that. They want us to interact with them, and it's actually send them out into our day to prepare our day, send them out to prepare the things we need ahead of time, the relationships that we need, the connections we need, so that things will be ordered. Our angels can do that. They have the ability to do that, but they need to be directed. And most of the time, they're waiting for us to direct them, to give them some direction. Now, what we see in the realm of heaven, then they can get involved in. So if you start to see what the Father's doing, they get really excited because they have an opportunity of being involved in what the Father's doing through us with our destiny every day. So a warning, those negative atmospheres attract negative spirits. So we're responsible for making sure we have the right attitudes, keeping ourselves in love, joy and peace. So the spiritual realm is occupied with the angelic. And as we saw earlier, that's around us. Now, angels are designed to be involved with earth from heaven. Genesis 28:12, Jacob had a dream. Behold, a ladder was set on earth. So the ladder was on earth, interestingly. It didn't say the ladder started in heaven. So there's an interaction here that we're responsible to engage with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So the angels of God ascend on ladders that we establish, that we connect. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord. So this is the ladder that we can engage in all the time to engage in the realm of heaven and go through the veil that's open and engage the Lord in that doorway, which is open. But not to be forgetting the fact that angels are ascending and descending when we connect. This happened with Jesus. John 1:51, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So he was used to engaging with the angelic realm as part of his way of doing things. Now, because his disciples couldn't see in the same way, they couldn't see how he was doing a lot of what he was doing until he opened their eyes to begin to engage in certain things. So Jesus lived under an open heaven with angelic involvement around his life at various times. Now we get some glimpses of that. Jesus is the pattern, the model for us. So we need to learn to tune in. In a wilderness, Matthew 11:4-11, then the devil left him and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. So in our lives, we can expect angels to minister. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22:43, now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. So we need to expect that. Matthew 26:53, do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? That's a lot of angels. Well, as a son, do not think that we can engage with our Father, who will give us access to at our disposal to do the things that we're called to do. Legions of angels are waiting for us to be involved. So when the angelic realm recognizes the kingdom, that God's on the throne of our lives, that whole angelic canopy comes around us and we can learn to engage with it. So we have a whole canopy of different angels. You see, these are the myriads upon myriads and the 10,000s upon 10,000s. And there are lots of different orders of them. There are angels who are heading those orders. They have specific functions. You can learn to engage us. We'll pick up this much more once we engage into the realm of heaven, where these things are more interactable. And you can go into those different realms of the canopies and engage the different angels and learn their functions and how to interact with them. But they are around us when they see the kingdom. So the whole corporate angelic realm is open when we gather. Now, we gather here, and you know, we've had it prophesied that we're a landing strip for the angelic and different things like that. So we have our church angels that we can engage with. We have the four angels of transformation and transition that we can engage with. We have a healing pool angel that comes that we can engage with. Are we just waiting for them to turn up, or are we actually administrating what they're doing and interacting with them? Like last week when Mike Bryan was here, he engaged with the angel that he said had a big axe. Now, I saw that angel because that's the angel of transformation that sits on the right-hand side of the room, on his left, as he described it, and actually it had a big axe. Now, I've seen it with a big axe once before, which was there to set us free from different tethers. Now, I was waiting to see whether he would pick up on it. He did, saw it, and offered people to come and get their chains cut. So those angels are there and we can interact. Sometimes they're sent with a purpose. Sometimes we can order and bring direction to them. The order of the chaos angels, which are the living creatures, they're not all like people with wings. Most of them aren't. They come in the form of fiery swords and whirlwinds and pillars and golden ladders and clouds and fiery chariots and fiery horses and many others. Those can be interacted with. And you can find that right throughout scripture, that angels come in many shapes and forms. We can engage with them when we gather. And sometimes when we worship and when Joe does the flags and different things, portals open and some of these things turn up. And we get fiery whirlwinds in the middle of the room that people can start to engage with. Or different things that open up avenues and opportunities for us to embrace and engage. So once we have established that God's kingdom is flowing through us, then we need to fill the spiritual realms around us, not just engage them. It's great to see what's going on, but we have responsibility to do something about what's in them. So it needs to flow through us. 1 Corinthians 6:17, the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. That flow begins when we live in oneness with God and heaven and ourselves. So every day, I look to come into agreement with God in me. So the bench of three, the government of heaven, is actually dwelling in me. So when I come into agreement with that, I create a window or a doorway or a portal for that to flow through me. If I don't come into agreement, there's a limit to what can happen through my life. I have to agree so that that creates a flow. So the door, the gate, or the portal of heaven is open and can flow through me, around me, which is really, really important for us, because we're not looking to fill those atmospheres with things which are just our own ideas. We're looking to see heaven flowing from one to another. And you begin then to engage with the manifestation of the four faces of God through our lives. So we begin to be a royal priesthood. We begin to carry the government of heaven, the apostolic and the prophetic foundations to bring things onto the earth. So the kingdom of God needs to flow through me and around me as rivers of living water. Now, we've got those scriptures. You know, we have those scriptures. John 4, we drink from a fountain. John 7, it becomes a river flowing through us. Rivers. So it can touch the world around us. Now, this is the whole point of the kingdom. It's supposed to touch the world. It's not supposed to stay inside us, making us happy in a nice place. Actually, it's supposed to engage the world. Peter's shadow healing people is an example of what was flowing through him, what was radiating around his life. People could come within that sphere and be healed. That can happen to us if we create and fill that sphere. So basically, I first started to engage in my day. I thought to engage in first love. I get baptized into Father, Son, and Spirit. I drink living water from the wells of salvation, John 4. I yoke myself to Jesus to be discipled by him, for him to lead and direct me. I surrender the seat and rest of the government of God, the throne of my spirit, to the Father, so he can father me, so he can show me what he's doing. That's my daily life, if you like. I come into agreement with the Father as a bench of three. That creates this doorway. I then become a gateway of the kingdom to increase in me, through me, and around me. That life is something that God intends me to have. So essentially, I then can see, as we look at this, the kingdom expanding. So I yield and open all the gateways of my spirit, soul, and body to heaven's flow. I expand my spirit in oneness with the Holy Spirit. Now, this took me a while to learn how to do, because I sort of didn't get it immediately. I just thought, okay, I'm a channel. God flows through me. Great. He'll do what he wants. But actually, then it's like, no, I'm a co-heir. I have to be involved in the process more than just a conduit. He wants my active involvement with what goes on. So actually, then it was like, okay, no, if you have these spheres of government, how do you begin to act, engage them? So he showed me that my spirit needs to expand, because my spirit is a place of government and there's no end to the increase of his government, so it needs to increase. So I expand my spirit every day, so my spirit extends around my soul, around my body, and then creates that atmosphere. So I populate that atmosphere with what I say, what I engage in heaven, so it can flow through me. Isaiah 54:2, this scripture has come to us quite a lot of times. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. So God is dwelling in me, and he wants that to extend further than just my physical body or the little atmosphere that I create. He wants it to expand. Spare not, lengthen the cords and strengthen your pegs, for you will spread abroad to the right and the left. So there's a sense where the kingdom needs to expand. Isaiah 9:7, there will be no end to the increase of his government and of peace. So if I'm at peace, I can create an atmosphere of peace, because there is an expansion of God's kingdom, and that can expand into every area that God's called me to have government in. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness. That's the foundation of God's kingdom. Living from a perspective of love, which is the fullest expression of righteousness, in justice. Bringing God's will and purpose into the earth, and then on forevermore. So this isn't going to end. We have this available to us today. Acts also describes this in Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. There is supposed to be an expansion. It isn't supposed to stay inside me. It's got to go to Jerusalem. Well, what's my Jerusalem around me? It's got to go to Judea. What's my Judea? Samaria, the ends of the earth. Those are the spheres that I've been given authority to administrate. The seven mountains and beyond. Daniel 2:35, the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's God's desire, that his kingdom, the mountain of God, the mountain of the house of the Lord, will be raised up above all the other mountains. How's that going to take place? As each of us administrate our own personal spheres of government, as each of us engage that, expanding the kingdom so the earth will be filled with the glory of God, answering creation's groan for freedom, we start to bring order. The whole of creation starts to respond to sonship. And it's like we're testimonies today of creation responding to sonship. Doug engaged God for an end to his seagull problem, and God engages creation and releases crows to come and nest and drive off all the seagulls. That is a demonstration of exactly this, creation answering sonship. When you respond from a place of authority, actually creation responds. God responds to it. Genesis 1:28, here's our mandate. God blessed them, he empowered them, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. So we have to begin to learn how to fill that. Every one of us has the capacity to fill the spheres or the circles of influence around us from that which flows from the fountain of life that you drink. If you drink from the right source, that becomes rivers that will flow. Now, it starts off as a trickle. You know, the trickle comes under the threshold of the door, it says in Ezekiel 47. Why? Because we haven't learned to open the door. We have to open first love. We have to open the door that Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." We have to open that door every day and allow him in. Then he can flow in us and through us and around us. If most of us have operated on the trickle, we've had a trickle. That trickle has been the gifts and fruit of the Spirit. As wonderful as that is, that's a trickle. What happens when it becomes a flood? Things will change. The capacity that we have will increase and grow. So I extend and expand my spirit outwards to create that atmosphere. I then extend it around my seven mountains and the corporate benches, spheres that I'm operating in, those influences I extend outwards. I'm creating a place by extending my tent pegs, my curtain, so it can be filled. Now, all I'm doing is extending the place where it can be filled. I have to fill it. It has to flow. So I can extend it, but if I don't do anything to fill it, nothing will happen. So that's what happens when I go into the realms of heaven every day and I'm sitting on a throne in heaven. I am actually creating and it's seeing what will fill those spheres. Now, those spheres, for me, are my home and family, the ecclesia here, the area, the region, and all our Freedom Apostolic Resource spheres. I have those spheres of government and they're expanding. Now, I am not responsible for everything that goes on in those areas, just what I'm mandated to have authority over. So I'm preparing the space to be fruitful, to fruit. I'm expanding and preparing that space to multiply and to be filled. I must not be a dead sea. The River Jordan flows into a sea that nothing flows out of and it is dead. Nothing lives in it because of the concentration of what's in it, which was never designed to stay in one pool. It was designed to flow out and water the rest of the earth. And that's an illustration of actually what happened with Israel. It all stuck with them and they didn't give it away. They were designed to be a light to the Gentiles and to the nations, and they didn't do it. And God took the kingdom from them because they didn't produce the fruit and gave it to those who would. Now, we need to be those who would, otherwise he'll take the kingdom of us and give it to another generation. So I'm expanding my boundaries around and my increasing spheres of influence, because there's no end to the increase of his government. Those are the spheres of my destiny. I'm not going to extend anything that doesn't belong to me in my life. So I need to know what I'm destined to fulfill. So it's not a good idea, or even, oh, look at all those problems over there, I need to do something about it. I don't, unless they're part of my mandate to do something about it. Now, I sometimes get moved by things I see. And I remember the Mexican hurricane that was the biggest hurricane they'd ever recorded. And I looked at the pictures and saw this big red mass on the thing coming into Mexico, and it was going to hit the south of the US. And I thought, wow, that's a huge hurricane. You need to do something about that. So I went to God and said, do you want me to do something about it? And he said, no, I've got someone else to deal with it. Now, I spoke to the person who was one of the people who were dealing with it. That hurricane was called Patricia. And I mean, God has got such a sense of humor. He chose someone called Patricia to actually engage it and stop it. And literally, the whole thing changed direction, went up into the mountains and petered out before it ever got to do what the destruction it could have done. But it wasn't my responsibility, even though I asked. It was someone else's, because it was within their sphere, because one of their seven mountains is weather. I haven't got a weather mountain. You know, now I can cause favor and blessing around my life, so I have a certain degree of control over the weather around me, but other people have authority over those things. So we operate within the spheres that we have. So I'm preparing the spheres so that what I establish in the heavenly realms can then flow through me into those spheres and touch the world and bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I want that river of life to go from a trickle to a stream to a river to a torrent, because that's what the scripture describes in Ezekiel 47. So we engage the spiritual realms around us with our spirit joined to the Lord. We do not then have to be affected by the atmosphere on the earth associated with the culture of the earth. We're supposed to affect that and bring change and transformation to it, to rule our circumstances. And we can do that if we fill them and subdue whatever's in there which is not in alignment with God's will and purpose. And we have authority to overcome any obstacle or hindrance that's hindering an outworking, but we need to use that. And Jesus said, if there's a mountain in the way, speak to it and tell it to go. So if you have an obstacle within your sphere that shouldn't be there, you can command it to be moved to go somewhere else. So we all need to see that that sphere can expand and increase to cover all the heavenly mountains that we are responsible for and every corporate bench that we have authority for. We can see an expansion to fill the spheres. We will need to be a gateway. If there's no opening of our gateways, there's nothing to flow. So the river of life becomes ankle deep stream to fill Jerusalem around us. It increases and becomes knee deep to fill Judea. It becomes waist deep to fill Samaria, and out of its depths to fill the ends of the earth. I don't know what the limit of your sphere will be. Could be the whole solar system or the galaxy, who knows? You know, mine at the moment is extended to the region that we live in and other spheres that I've been given influence for. Ezekiel 47, this is the scripture that we use. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and there was water trickling from under the threshold because the door wasn't open. He measured 1,000 cubits, led me to water reaching the ankles, and measured 1,000. Now, why 1,000? Well, you know, multiples of 10, and 10 is a number of government. Then measured again, water reaching the knees, measured again, water reaching the loins. Verse 5, he measured 1,000, and a river could not ford. The water had risen enough to swim in, a river that not could be forded. The hole in the bank of the river were many trees on one side and on the other. Carries on, then the waters go out to the eastern region, because everything always flows out from the east side. That's where the blessing flows out of the temple, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea became fresh. So what comes through us can actually turn the things that are not livable in to be filled with life. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. So if we start to administrate the spheres of government around us, then we can bring life into them, heaven's life into those spheres. And we have lots of scriptures that share about this. Zechariah 9:10, he will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. This is what we're about. Genesis 2:10. Now a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. Eden is from heaven, God's garden. Water the garden on earth was given to Adam. From there it divided and became four rivers to water the earth, it says. That river is increasing and expanding the kingdom. Isaiah 41:18. I will open up rivers on bare heights and springs in the midst of valleys. I will make a wilderness, a pool of water, and a dry land, fountains of water. Where there is no life, we're supposed to bring life. It's supposed to flow through us and around us. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. So if we're living in a desert, whose responsibility is it to bring life to it? Ours. And we have every capacity to do it. Ephesians 2:6 talks about where we're seated in the heavens with Christ. The flow that of the river is created from your throne in your heavenly position of authority, where you're seated with Christ. That is where you establish what can fill those spheres. Your throne is where your mountain is. You can release the spiritual blessings, according to Ephesians 1:3, that are available to you in the heavenly realms, into those spheres, into the expansion that you are creating. Or you can take it to yourself, and that will be the end of it. You might have an interesting life, but it won't be the fulfillment of your destiny, and it won't fill the earth. We need to fill our expanded boundaries, so we must always be looking to see life, and how we frame and create that life fill those spheres. And you begin to release it with your words, your declarations, your decrees, with what you call into being, what you create, because in reality you have the authority then to assign angels to it. Every one of us has our individual mountains and spheres. We have, some of us have corporate mountains and spheres we're on benches for. We then can use the authority that we gain in our personal life, because if we're not functioning in authority in our own life, it isn't going to function out into those spheres. So we need to have the government of God established in our own life. Then we can start to see our personal spheres and our corporate spheres begin to function correctly. We need to live beyond the veil so that everything is under our feet. When we live and our spirit is inhabiting heaven, everything is under us, which is where Jesus said it should be. The enemy cannot harm us if he's in the right place, and that's under our feet, in subjection to our rule and authority in our lives. Isaiah 9:6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. Now, it was resting on his shoulders. Well, who's his body now? Us. He is our head. We are his body, both corporately and individually, to express his kingdom. It's like that's what he is now. He's Prince of Peace. So now peace can be established on the earth through us. He's our head. He places his governmental authority on our shoulders, individually and corporately. So let's look at this as a picture. We are body, soul, and spirit. Everything is supposed to flow from the inside out to create an atmosphere around my life. That every one of us can do that. We all do it, actually, whether we know we're doing it or not. And sometimes you can pick up what those atmospheres are. Now, I can see what those atmospheres are because I tune into that. So I can see the colors that are on people and the different flame that they carry when I choose to. I don't choose to do it because I think sometimes I don't want to impose on people's personal space. You know, so unless God inspires me, I don't look. But I can. So then that's supposed to increase. Therefore, we have a Jerusalem. For me, that's my family, my home. I can begin to expand my government around that. Then that is Judea, which for me is the church here. That I have authority because I'm part of the bench for the church. Then I can go out to Samaria, which is our area, because I have authority in our area because I'm part of the bench of three for this local area. And also to my ends of the earth is the region and the regions that I'm responsible for in other nations, because that is also a part where I have authority. Some is I'm mandated authority, and actually I'm part of a regional bench of three. So that is my expansion, if you like. I've learned to expand my spirit around that every day and set the boundary stones around it. Now, also looking at that, you have your seven mountains within the sphere of your life. And you want those mountains increasing. And you may have a corporate bench that you're part of within those mountains, like the church. You're all part of that church. Some of you have got mountains that you're responsible for. Some of those mountains are further afield for me. They're out into the air and they're out into the region. But all of them, God's desire is they increase. That their governmental spheres are increasing day by day by day. And the fruit and gifts of the Spirit flowing through us can interact so that we're demonstrating the character and the nature of God in those spheres. All our senses, the functions of our spirit, soul, and body come together in unity. So I'm a whole person engaging peace into those areas. So we are functioning as a spirit being, as a living being with my soul and spirit, maturing into a godlike being, because God wants me to be a son. Now I need to mature. We may all be sons, but most of us still are children. And we need to mature into adulthood to have the full functioning of God's government around us and through us. So our spheres operate in relation to our specific mandates. I do not have authority to go beyond what I'm called to do. So I may have some authority in this region, but it's not for everything that's going on. It's for me, my authority is to establish government, to help establish ecclesia and embassies of heaven. That is what I'm called to do. That's what I can administrate. I can't administrate into things that I'm not responsible for. I don't have authority for everything, just that which I'm authorized. Now, others will have different responsibilities within the same region and the same sphere that I don't have. That's how God does it, through different people with different gifts and different callings, which is why it's so important that we all find out what we're all individually called to do. Now, none of this functions unless we're enthroned in the heavenly realms. We have to establish that as it is in heaven first before it can come to the earth. That's the whole pathway of responsibility, which is the whole next part of this teaching, which will be, how do we do that? How do we establish as it is in heaven? How do we go into heaven? How do we engage the mountains of heaven? How do we engage the courts and the government of heaven? Because that's what we're called to do as lords, kings, and sons. So true worship is not singing songs. True worship is the outworking of our destiny through daily mandates that we're given to reveal heavenly realms onto the earth. That's true worship. Romans 12, 1 and 2 describes true worship. Our true service of worship is finding out what God's will is and doing it by being transformed in the renewing of our mind and not being conformed to the earth. That's the process that brings us as living sacrifices. The desires of our hearts can be aligned and resonating with God's heart. We can see what he's doing and then begin to release that. So all of us can radiate energy, frequency, light, vibrations of love and joy and peace and healing, power, miracles through our lives as we see what the Father's doing. Now, if the Father does no miracles today through me, then I don't have to do them. So I'm only responsible for what the Father's doing. And there are seasons where he does certain things and there are seasons where he does other things. We need to be like sons of Issachar who determine the signs and seasons to know what we should do. So we need to manifest sonship, which is the glory of the sons of God. That's what God wants to do, manifest us on the earth. To do that, we need to establish the boundaries of our spheres. And to do that, we need to therefore know the government of heaven. Basically, Joshua 24, 25 says, Joshua made a covenant with the people, and we're talking about the Joshua generation, so it's significant what he does that day, and made for them a statute and ordinance in Shechem. So this is government. When he talks about statutes and ordinances, covenant, it's all government. He established government for the Joshua nation, which is the earth there for them. It should have been the beginning of what then expanded and filled the earth. Of course, it stayed in one place. David and Solomon expanded it, but then contracted it all back. So Joshua 24, 26. Joshua wrote these things, these words in a book of the law, and he took a large stone and he set it up there under the oak tree that was the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness for us, and for it's heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke. So when we establish these things around us, it becomes boundary stones that we speak into, that create the protection around our spheres of government. We have authority to speak into those tent pegs, if you like, the things that you are establishing, that then you rule. You don't allow things to come into your sphere that you have authority over. So we set up those boundary stones, we speak declarations, establish the boundaries, protection, occupation, colonization, because we're supposed to fill and establish God's kingdom there. God's calling us to do that individually, corporately. Every one of us can actually do this. We can engage our spirit, those spiritual atmospheres, tune into them, and see the disturbances that go on there. You know, what's going on in our region, in our area, in the church? Are we aware of it? Are we sensitive to it? Because we can begin to tune into those things that we can engage and understand and then begin to do something about. So then everything flows. And ultimately, this is the purpose of this. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him, for the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That is the pathway of relationship that enables us to be manifested as sons who will walk in heavenly responsibility. So that's the end of that whole section. I'd encourage you to go over it and practice it until you can do this yourself. Establish your own boundaries, extend the kingdom, rule and govern the circumstances that are around you, and make sure that you fill that atmosphere with the river of life inside out, and don't be subject to what comes from outside in. Let's do an exercise to engage what we've just been talking about. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. So I'd encourage you to begin thinking about that door, hearing his voice, hearing him knock. So just close your eyes, think about that door. Activate your imagination as the doorway to encounter. Just picture that door, reach out and open the door, and the river of God starts to flow, starts to come round you. Just drink in that river, let his presence surround you. The peace just rest on you, his joy fill you. So let it bubble up and overflow. Just be willing to take Jesus' yoke upon you. Just choose to be discipled by him. Surrender the seat and rest and government to the Father. Just ask the Father to take his place on the throne in your spirit. And just sense becoming one. Join to the Lord, one spirit with him. Now just begin to expand your spirit outwards through the gateways of your soul, surrounding your soul, to see the boundaries, expanding your tent pegs. Let that go around you, creating an atmosphere around you. Let the rivers of living water just flow into that atmosphere, filling it with love and joy and peace. Just picture an expansion. Your spirit growing bigger and bigger, expanding outwards. And this begin to engage the atmosphere around you. Just sense your spirit just sending out that pulse into the realm around you. And just be open to receive back. Image of the angelic realm. Engaging with your own angels. Engaging with the angelic realm around you in the spiritual dimensions. Surrounding your physical body. Thank you. Just begin to expand your spirit around your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, outwards, around your seven spheres of government, around any corporate benches that you're participating in. Just allow your spirit to reach out. As you create the boundary stones, just speak protection, provision, blessing into your spheres. Just tune in to become sensitive to those spheres. What you establish in the heavens, you can begin to speak and flow into those spheres that you've created. If you want to step into the heavens, heaven is open. Door is standing open. An invitation is always available for you to come up here. Just step through the veil. Engage with Jesus as your high priest. Surrender to him. Just go to your throne on your mountain and begin to decree or declare, call forth into the spheres of government that you've expanded around, that there be a flowing through your spirit, rivers of living water flowing with life, that which you create, that which you decree and declare, flowing into. Your expanded spheres. You can spend some time doing that. Just remember to daily open your first love gate, join yourself to the Lord, begin to expand your boundaries around those spheres of government that belong to you, and as you rule from the heavens, let that government flow into those realms, become sensitive and tune into them, speak, declare, maintain that government around your life, around your circumstances,